to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. You can take notes on the back of the bulletin. If you're taking notes, go ahead and write down 1, 2, 3, because there's three things I want you to leave here with today. There's not going to be any youth this Wednesday night, because we usually cancel youth or have a summer break starting in the end of April, because the month of May around here at Leedy is very busy with our youth, graduation, baccalaureates, everything that's going on, proms. Today there's even a Miss LHS at 2 o'clock today here in town. We've got some of our, I know Grace is one of our girls, Megan is a host at it, MC. So if you're not doing anything this afternoon, go to the Leedy Miss LHS. You can see all the different announcements. We are going to have a special youth night, though, May the 11th. That's officially going to be our last youth service, and that's where we're going over to Camargo Church, and we'll be riding a bus over there, and Patricia will be announcing more details about that next Sunday. And then you can see our camps, and be sure and get digital, going digital disciples. That QR code will help you to sign up on our church center app is what it is, and we're going to have all these announcements in there as well about youth camps, men's retreats, women's things that are coming up. May the 7th, there's a In Her Shoes women's retreat coming up, or it's a mom and daughter conference is what it is, and so you can get, you can see more information about that on the bulletin board. So that's kind of all the announcements today. If you're a guest with us, please fill out this inside flap and take it back there to the church resource table, and Betty's got a free gift for you. It's good to see everybody this morning. Is everybody ready to learn something today?
Yes.
All right, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 1. I've been wanting to do this for some time, and I felt like the Lord said it's time to start teaching on the book of Acts. I always tell you as your pastor, go home and read the book of Acts. Go home and read the book of Acts. Go home and read the book of Acts. Well, guess what? I'm going to read it to you. We're going to read the whole book. But where this came from, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about my background. I was raised Southern Baptist. Woohoo! and I appreciate my Southern Baptist roots, but they kind of treaded pretty close to blaspheming the Holy Spirit sometimes when they would attribute the works of the Holy Spirit to the devil. And really, I found out that was because they didn't understand about it. They were ignorant of it. And so that's kind of, but I thank God they taught me about salvation, amen? Because without salvation, we're all doomed. And then I married a Pentecostal girl, Jada, who was raised, do y'all know her? And her and her family went to the Assembly of God church here in Leedy. So she was raised Assemblies of God. And we got married, and after the first year of marriage, for those that are married, we knew that we needed God at the center of our marriage. Amen. After the first year. And so I talked to Jada, and we talked. It's like, we need to get back in church. I said, okay. And so I said, where do you want to go to church at? She said, well, let's go to Assembly of God Church there in Elk City. And I was like, okay, let's try that out. And we went, and it was a great church. And that's where I got introduced to the Holy Spirit. Never had been taught about the Holy Spirit. So I got taught there about the Holy Spirit. And I found out that the Holy Spirit is the part of the Godhead that's here on the planet with us. The Holy Spirit, God the Father's in heaven. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. But the Holy Spirit is here with us to help us live the Christian life. Amen. And I found out that there was a whole nother baptism, even though I'd been water baptized and at the age of 9 in the Baptist church here in Leedy, I felt like that I needed to do it again at the age of 23 after Jade and I had been married for a year. So we got baptized again. And then just a few months later, and before that, though, I had been learning about the Holy Spirit, being taught about the Holy Spirit. And about a month or a few months after we got water baptized, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it was wonderful. And it was an initial baptism, but I'm going to tell you, there's lots of fillings, amen, because we leak, by the way. And so I appreciate that the Holy Spirit, if you ask Him, He'll fill you every day, all right? But what I'm going to teach you is the Bible teaches, and it's all through the book of Acts, there are two separate baptisms. There's a baptism in water, and then there's a baptism in the Holy Spirit that the Lord Jesus does. And the reason why he wants to baptize you in the Holy Spirit is because he wants to empower you to serve him and bring him to the world that's around you. That's why he wants to baptize you. Everybody said? All right, turn to Book of Acts, chapter 1. And it says, in my former book, Theophilus, who wrote the book of Acts was Luke. He said, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. And so he just said, you know, even though Jesus said at the cross, it is finished, Jesus is still doing things today and he's still teaching today. Amen? Through his fivefold ministry, through the church of Jesus Christ that's in the earth. And the reason why I want to say this is because a lot of people think that everything stopped with the book of Acts and the apostles. And, you know, it's called the Acts of the Apostles. It's actually the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles is really what it is. And I just wanted you to see that in verse 1, that Jesus is still doing things and he's still teaching today. And the reason why a lot of people don't understand the Holy Spirit is because they've never been taught. Some people have sat in church for 30 and 40 years and have never been taught about the Holy Spirit. So as your pastor, I want to teach you about this, and we're just going to break it down. And in verse 2, it says, until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days. This is after the resurrection. And spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Everybody say command. I just want you to realize that this is not a suggestion. This is not something that Jesus said, you know, if you want to, do it. He said this is a command for all believers. It's not just for people that are in the fivefold ministry. It's not just for your pastor. It's not just for those that are in leadership in the body of Christ. It's for every believer. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for everyone. And it's a command. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water. Okay, I've had the John the Baptist, right? Southern Baptist, all right, right here. John the Baptist baptism. But in a few days, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. By the way, the first place I ever preached the gospel was in a Methodist church. So I've been in them all right? Covered them all. We was on the ship when we were gone on Easter. When we was gone from you guys on a trip, I went to a Catholic service. So I've been in it all, okay? Verse 6 says, then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the days the Father has set by his own authority. And see, they're all caught up in what kingdoms are going on in the world. At that particular time, it was the Roman government that was in authority at that time. And Jesus was basically, you know, in a soft way, just telling them, you know what, guys, it's not for you to know the times or the days the Father has set by his own authority. And basically, Jesus was saying, I'm building a kingdom that you know not of. And you guys can't even see it right now. Verse 8 says, but you'll receive power. Everybody say power. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white, these are angels, stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Jesus is coming back again, and he's coming back very soon, all right? Now, I can send you these by, and I'm going to put them on Facebook too, because I'm going to give you a lot of scripture, and here's the reason why, is because I want you to see what the Word says, not what some denomination says or what they have said. I want you to see what the Word of God says. In Romans 15:18, this is Paul speaking. He says, I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done. I want you to notice that. Not only did he say it, but he did it. Okay, he preached, and then things were done. All right, so it was words and deeds. And it says, and here's the deeds, by the power, everybody say power again. And today's message is called The Promise of Power. By the power of signs and miracles through the power of the Spirit, so from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. This is the full gospel that we're talking about today, not leaving anything out. So there, even the Apostle Paul said this, I did just what Jesus did. Words and deeds, signs and wonders followed the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Here's the deal. Power, if you're a believer, and you might be saying, well, that's for the Apostle Paul. That's for Pastor Mark because he's got to get up there every Sunday and bring a message and yada, yada, yada. Here's the deal. That's yada, 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 all right? That's not speaking in tongues. That's just that's saying that's a bunch of redneck jumbo mumbo. This is for you. God wants you to have power in your home. God wants you to cast out demons in your home. God wants you to heal the sick in your home. God wants you to take this to your family and your friends. I'm tired of seeing people that are baptized in the Holy Spirit and they speak in tongues, but they won't even cross the road to talk to their neighbor about Jesus. That's not power. That's hiding. Okay? And I want you to notice something. I'm getting kind of ahead of myself because I'm so full of this right now. I'm just like, blah, okay? But the thing that God started showing me through this is because even though I had the both ends of the spectrum, left field, right field, okay? And I'm trying to go in the middle, word and spirit. Do what Jesus did. Teach the word. Signs and wonders follow. Whenever I was in and there was good people in both camps, Southern Baptist, good people in the Assemblies of God. All right, I'm not knocking any denomination. I know this is going to go out on the radio, and I'm not saying just because we're non-denominational, we got it all figured out. We don't. I'm still seeking Him. Amen. But I believe what the Word says, not what man says. And one of the things that the Assembly of God teach is the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. Well, guess what? You get to do it, all right? But that's not the evidence. The Bible says, Jesus said, He didn't say, go to Jerusalem and wait till you start speaking in tongues. He said, go to Jerusalem and wait till you're endued with power from on high. And what they did with that power is they went out and served other people with it, okay? Now, is speaking in tongues part of it? Yes, it is, but that's your private prayer language. The best way I can describe it, I spoke in tongues this morning. Just here last week, I got up one morning, my pickup was dead. The battery was dead. I was like, what? You know, it's never done that before. I'm like, what's going on with my pickup? And I'm trying to figure out what I left on and all this stuff. And so I never did figure it out, and so I finally got the charger out and started charging it up. And when I was thinking about this week, that chart, we all leak. We all, when you give out that power. Well, speaking in tongues, the Bible says it fills you back up. It edifies you. It builds you up on your most holy faith, all right? So it's not weird and kooky. It's all through the book of Acts, and we're going to see that. But that's just a part of it, all right? I don't hang my hat on it and say, that's it. That's just a part of it, a small part of it. God wants to give you power so that you can go out and minister to people and bring deliverance to people. Whatever's needed in that moment. If they need healing, you got the power. Amen? If they need a demon cast out of them, you got the power to do it. All right? You've got that power as believers. It's not just for a select few. And everybody said, amen. All right. Now, I'm going to kind of do a jet tour through some scriptures here about Jesus. And he says, I tell you the truth, says the Son, Jesus is speaking to the disciples, said, and if he needed the Holy Spirit, how much more do we need it? All right, and he said, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. So the Holy Spirit will tell you what to do. When you're walking with the Holy Spirit, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, he'll tell you what to do. All right, Luke 4, verse 1 says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert. So he was full of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was leading him around to do what he was supposed to do. In verse 14, it says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. I have the privilege of, and we're going to have a meeting this Wednesday on a Zoom meeting with a bunch of leaders in the body of Christ. But some of them are even across the pond over in the UK. and it's called All Nations, and they're apostles and prophets. And I get on there, and we're talking, and we've been discussing things, what COVID has taught the body of Christ. And I'm not saying everybody, but this, and I'm so glad that God led me to this group of men and women. But what COVID has taught us is that we had been doing a really good job with platform ministry and marketing, business marketing for the church. And when COVID hit, people have left the church, and not very many people had come back. Okay, thank you for being here today, by the way. But a lot of people are staying at home and watching online, or they're not even watching at all. I'll just be honest with you, not even attending a church anywhere. And we need each other, especially in these last days. But what these apostles and prophets have been saying, and I'm saying it as well, is that what it's showing us is the lack of power in the body of Christ in the American church. That we've done a really good job on platform ministry and having some charismatic person up there and having a good band and then a whole lot of great business marketing with graphics to attract people into the kingdom. All right. And some of it's worked. Thank God for that. God works through all the stuff. But God is telling the body of Christ right now, I want to bring my power back. And it's not just to whoever's on the platform. I'm bringing it back to the whole body ministry happening and bringing in this last day harvest. And that's what's going on. And it's happening, guys. It's happening in other countries, and it's going to start happening in America. And I want this church to be right smack dab in the middle of it, whatever we're supposed to be doing. And so, but it's going to take, the power is where it's at. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. And look at this. And the news about him spread through the whole countryside. The best marketer out there is the Holy Spirit. Yes. When people in here start getting healed, delivered, set free, healed of cancer, healed of any kind of sickness, news is going to spread. And we're not going to be able to keep we're going to have to build on to this place. Amen. Or we may have to start having home churches like that. I don't know if we'll continue to. I don't know what's going to happen on the landscape. But, guys, when you read the book of Acts, they did it without buildings, without big budgets. They met from home to home, and they had the power of God flowing through them. And the Bible says they turned the world upside down. Isn't that awesome? I want that kind of power. All right, Luke 4, verse 16. I'll tell you this. If you ever get a chance to lay hands on somebody and they get healed, you're going to be addicted to it. You're going to become I want to be addicted to Jesus and his power. All right. Luke 4, verse 16 says, he, Jesus, went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue as was his custom. And he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. I want you to notice, when you read the Gospels, I want you to think about this too. A lot of Jesus' ministry was done outside the church. That's where all this power was happening, outside the church. But this day he's in church, like his custom was. He went to church. And he says, unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he said, today this has been fulfilled in your hearing. He is the one that has been anointed. In Luke 5, I'm just going to go through these real quick. Luke 5, verse 17, the second part of that scripture says, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. What does this imply? Sometimes the power is not present. Have you ever been in a church service where the power wasn't present? I don't like those church services. I want the power to be present. I'm constantly praying, God, I want the power to be present here that when people walk through these doors, they're going to be healed. My dad told me this morning when we were up here having communion, he said, Mark, he goes, when I walked through these doors today, I felt the love of God. That's what I want people to feel. And it's not this building that does that. It's us as a community of believers when people feel that. So the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Luke 10:21, at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit. How many of you need joy? Holy Spirit will fill you up to overflowing. And Jesus went through a lot of stuff. It says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Okay, Acts 10:38, another one of my favorite scriptures. It says, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And God wants to, and here's where I want to turn the tables on us. He says, I tell you the truth. This is Jesus speaking. He says, anyone who has faith in me, Do you have faith in Jesus today? Okay. It says, in me you will do what I have been doing, and he will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. You talking about greater works than Jesus? Yes. Jesus promised that. And the same, John 14, 15, 16 is all the same thing that Jesus is talking to his disciples. And in John 16, verse 7, he says, but I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. I heard a pastor preach on this one time, and I thought it was really good. He said, you know what's wrong with a lot of people? They haven't said bye to Jesus. And that's what that scripture's saying. You say, and I know that sounds bad, but say bye to Jesus and hello, welcome, Holy Spirit, okay? Jesus is the one that sent the Holy Spirit. We're all the time wanting Jesus, we're wanting him to be here, and Jesus is like, no, it's expedient that I go away because I'm just one man here, you know, the Son of God. I'm just one. I'm tied up. But if you let me go to sit at the right hand of the Father, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit who's going to fill every one of you to go out and be little Jesuses everywhere you go. That's what Christians means. We're little Christs everywhere. Okay. Matthew 3, verse 11. This is John the Baptist. He says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I'm not a smart man, but that what that just told me is that there are two different baptisms. And so if there's two different baptisms, then by golly, I want them both, right? And I did the water baptism, and thank God I asked Jesus to baptize me in the Holy Spirit, and guess what? He did. And he'll do it for you. He's not a respecter of persons. And it says, his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? And I want you to understand this right here. John the Baptist is not talking about water baptism here. He's talking about spirit baptism. He's telling Jesus, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? And Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. Here's one. Jesus said, John the Baptist was up to that point the greatest prophet that had ever been born, even compared to Moses, even compared to Elijah and Elisha. And this guy was, here's what I think John the Baptist was, okay, just from reading scripture. He dressed funny, okay? He wore camel's hair and ate wild locusts and honey. That's weird, okay? That's very weird. And I think he was a preaching machine is what I think he was, because the Bible says that people came from everywhere and went to hear him out in the desert. And then they would show up, and the religious people would show up, and he'd call them a brood of vipers. But they'd still come. But I just feel like he was a preaching machine. And the reason why I'm going down this road for you is because I'm talking about the big C, the church. John the Baptist already had crowds coming. But John said, I need something more. And I need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I need what only you can give. That's where the church is. And I'm talking about the big C when I say this. We feel like we're doing pretty good because we got a crowd coming. We need more of Jesus. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 3:16 says this, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. So this is when Jesus received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And as soon as Matthew 4:1 says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert. Everybody see that? He was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit led him in his life. God wants to lead you, but you got to be full of the Holy Spirit and led by the Spirit. And this is not just for ministry's sake. He wants to lead you in business. He wants to lead you, young people, he wants to lead you in who do you get married to. And everybody said amen. That's being full of the Holy Spirit. He wants to lead you. You two were led to one another, and I know that as your pastor. I'm doing some premarital counseling with this couple right here after church today, and they're about to get married, and God has brought them together for such a time as this. Amen. They've been led by the Spirit together, even though they grew up in Camargo together. God still had to lead them together. All right. Now, I'm going to give you 3 points this morning, and here's number one, and I really want you to get this. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is not just a Pentecostal charismatic church thing or an early church apostles thing. It's a today thing, and it's for everybody thing. And in Acts 6, verse 8, I'm going to back this up with Scripture, just because there's a lot of teaching out there that says, well, it went away with the early apostles. No, it didn't, because all through the book of Acts, there was other people that were baptized in the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just for the apostles. In Acts 6, verse 8, it talks about Stephen, who was a deacon. It says, a man full of God's grace and power, or dunamis, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Here's another one. Acts 8, verse 6. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs that he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. And Philip wasn't an apostle either. Isn't that amazing? This is for every believer, guys. And it's for every... This is what the Bible teaches. It's not a denominational thing. And like I told you earlier, I thank God for my Southern Baptist roots. I thank God that I was introduced to the Holy Spirit in Assembly of God Church. But there's more than just water baptism. There's a spirit baptism. And then the spirit baptism wants to lead you in that power so that you have the power to serve others that are around you. Every one of you have circles of influence that I don't have. Okay? And if you're being led by the Holy Spirit, God wants to show you who to minister to that's in your circle. Because somebody may be sick in your circle. They need to be healed. You got the authority to lay hands on them to be healed. Somebody in your circle may be very demonically oppressed or even possessed, and God wants to give you the power to cast out that demon. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So it's not just a Pentecostal charismatic church thing or an early church apostles thing. I'm going to tell you a story that happened with me, because I've often thought of this, and I've seen a lot of things. I haven't seen, there's some people in here that's been over in other countries. I know Leroy has. He's told me stories about he's laid hands on people and see tumors just fall off or dissolve right in front of him. And some people say, well, why don't we see that in America? It's because people think, well, I can go to Walgreens after church. Yeah. Okay? Over there, they don't have nowhere else to go. Yeah. It's God or nothing, you know. But we still have that power. We have that power here. And I've seen things over here and cast out demons. Or demons over here in America? Oh, yeah, they're everywhere. Okay? But, I don't go looking for them. It's just that when they show up, I know as a believer, I have power in the name of Jesus to tell that thing to go. And it's got to obey. One of the most powerful services I ever had was not even really a church service. It was a Royal Rangers. It's kind of like Boy Scouts in the Assemblies of God, all right? And so that's where we needed help. When I first got saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit, the pastor said, we need help in Royal Rangers. So I got involved in Royal Rangers. I started serving in Royal Rangers. Had a bunch of little bitty boys from about ages of 8 to 12. I had a couple of guys that were, everybody that was leaders in the Royal Rangers were called commanders. So I had a couple of commanders that helped me. And so we went out on campouts. That was one of the big things that you did. You go on campouts with the Royal Rangers, and they can earn badges. I mean, it's just like Boy Scouts almost. And we were supposed to go camping out. We went up to eastern Oklahoma to camp out. We're going to be there for like 3 days. Well, the first night, a big storm came in, and it was terrible. Rain, storm, windy, and we had this little church van. We get in the church van, and it started pouring down on us, and I'm trying to get boys in there, and it's pouring down and trying to make sure we got a head count. I get all the commanders in there. We're just drenched in rain. We get in there. I said, we got everybody. It's hot and sweaty, you know, in a church van when it's in the middle of the summer and that steam and all that. And I'm looking around. I'm like, we're missing one little boy. I'm like, oh, my gosh, where's he at? And so I go running back down to where our camp was at. Well, he couldn't get – it was so cute. It's funny now. It wasn't funny at the time. But he couldn't get out of his tent. He was still zipped up in his tent, but he had ripped all the stakes up out of the ground, and he was trying to get up the hill, and he's in a tent, looked like a ghost. And so I had to bear hug him and run him up the hill and throw him in the van, and we got him unzipped, and he was scared to death. And then we kind of sat there for a little while. It was in the middle of the night, and then we heard from some of the other people that, hey, they're canceling the whole, because it was the other churches involved, they're canceling the whole thing. Is it, you know, there was just the storm had really tore up a lot of stuff around there. And we was like, darn, we got to go home. So it's the middle of the night. We start going back home, and us commanders are switching off driving because it's late at night. And a lot of the boys are asleep in the back now, you know, and it just smelled. God, I can't tell you the smell of, you know, that heat and humidity with young little boys. And we get back to church, and as we're getting back to church, I'd already had this thought that we don't need to run it for these little boys. We can camp out one more night at the church. I had this thought. My flesh was screaming, go home and go to bed, you know. And as we're driving along there, one of the other commanders said, hey, Mark, what do you think about us camping out at the church tonight? I was like, God, why did you have to say that? You know, I was like, that's just confirmation because I was already thinking the same thing. So we get to the church. We call their parents. We're telling them, hey, we're going to hang out at the church. We're going to camp out here tonight. We're going to let them play during the day. We got all this food and stuff. We're going to, you know, cook out and serve the kids and have a good time. So we did that. And this is before Jade and I even had Taya. We hadn't had kids yet. And so I'm up at the church, and we're camping out. And so the night comes, and I told the other guys, I said, we need to have a church service because that's what we'd do if we was camping out. They'd have to go to church service there. So let's have a church service. And I said, okay. So we got about, 15 little boys, maybe 12. Can't remember, 12, 15. And so we're camping out at the church. They got tents set up in the fellowship hall, you know. And we have this little church service. And I just thought, you know, what I could tell them is, you know, after, you know, the resurrection, how all the, you know, the disciples were discouraged because they thought Jesus, you know, had really died and he wasn't resurrected and all this. And then when they found out he was resurrected, you know, and the joy that came back. And so I kind of shared that with them on their level, you know, and we were sitting there, and then we'd have, and we always did this on Wednesday nights, even at church, we'd have prayer time. And so during our prayer time, this little boy came up to me, and I was so exhausted, I was actually sitting in a chair, and they were all sitting out there in their little chairs, and I was teaching them, just telling them about this little story from the Bible. And this little boy came up to me, and he was just really sincere. I can't remember the boy's name now, but he had tears in his eyes, and this is what he said. He said, Mark, I want everything that God has for me. He's like 8 or 9 years old. And I was like, man, that is so awesome. And so I sat there. This is where I learned to pray with my eyes open after this event happened. But he stood right in front of me. I'll never forget this, guys, and God is my witness, this really happened, is I laid my hands on this young man, and I said, God, just answer his prayer. He wants everything that you have for him. And guys, and we're going to look at this in Acts chapter 2, but in Acts chapter 2, it says that there was a wind, okay? It wasn't a wind outside, it was a wind inside. There was a wind that happened that's blowing my hair back, okay? And I've got 15 other little boys out here. And I'm like, I'm sitting there going, did somebody just turn on a fan? I'm just sitting there with my eyes. And then all of a sudden, my two commanders that were standing here by me, they just both went, boom, fell. And the power of God hit that place. And all 12, 15 of those young boys came up to the altars and were praying. And they were there for 4 hours doing that, praying. And I just sat there and I was just like in awe. I was just over there worshiping God going, I had nothing to do with it. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. And it was powerful. And some of those little boys still remember that to this day. A little side note, I had a little boy who's a grown man now. And during our time when we earn badges and stuff, they have to tell you, they have to pick a Native American name, okay? I think I'm safe to say Indian name here with Jennifer Hawkins, an Indian name. So this little boy, and we still joke about it to this day, and this little boy came up to me. His name was Jordan Dixon. He came up to me, and I said, Jordan, what's your Indian name, your Native American name? And he looked at me, and he goes, my name is Hoppin' Frog. So I praise God, Hoppin' Frog. I learned a lot from those little boys, but don't tell me that even, you know, a lot of times kids don't bother me at all because I've seen kids for 4 hours worship Jesus.
Yes.
And you would think that they'd be up running around, and they weren't. They were focused on the Lord. All right, here's number two. The Bible uses several different terms for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I just want to run through these real quick so that you don't get hung up on terminology that you read in the Word of God. But the first term is obvious, baptized with the Holy Spirit. This is Acts 1:5, says, "For John baptized with water," everybody say baptized, "but in a few days," this is Jesus speaking, "you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Everybody say baptized again. All right, those are two, even though in the English language that's we see baptized, in the Greek, the New Testament was written in Greek, that's actually two different types of baptism, okay? So you're going to learn some Greek today. The Greek words for baptism, the first one that he talked about, which was the water baptism, is bapto, all right? The second baptism is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's baptizo, all right? And both of them mean to dip or immerse. Both of them mean that. So the best analogy that I can give you about this is how a cucumber becomes a pickle, okay? Is a cucumber is dipped or baptoed in boiling water, and then it's baptizoed in vinegar, and it becomes a pickle. So what needs to happen to all of us is we need to become pickled with Jesus. Amen? All right. Look at somebody and say, "I'm a pickle." All right, here's the second term. The Holy Spirit comes on you. This is Acts 1:8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you," comes on you, "and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth." The third term is "pour out my spirit." Acts 2:17, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people." The fourth term is "filled with the Holy Spirit." Acts 2:4 says, "All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be filled with the Spirit." The fifth term is "the Holy Spirit fell upon them." I love this. While Peter was speaking in these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. When the Holy Spirit fell, the Greek word is that for that is like "the Holy Spirit fell upon them" is when the Holy Spirit embraces you or hugs you. Have you ever been in a worship service where you just felt the Holy Spirit hugging everybody? I love those times, all right? That's when the Holy Spirit falls in a place. The sixth term is "received the Holy Spirit." It says, then Peter, Acts 8:17, "then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit." And here's the last thing. Is you have to wait on the Lord to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the reason why I want to say this is because it's Him that does the baptism, not me, all right, or not anybody else. It's He that does the baptism. Sometimes people have to wait because they need to get rid of a lot of religious garbage that they've been taught, okay? And then the Lord's very patient. He'll get you through all that, all right? I don't want it to sound like you're going to have to wait forever, because the baptism of the Holy Spirit is here and it's available. But sometimes the wait, God's doing a deeper work in you to get rid of a bunch of junk. Because I've had people come to me and say, "Mark, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit even though I was at a church service and I asked for it then, but it was, you know, a week later, a month later, that I was laying in bed at night in the middle of the night and woke up and was just immersed and baptized in the Holy Spirit." I heard of a guy that was a farmer, and he went to a church, and he was taught about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He asked for it that Sunday, and then he said, "You know," and "I didn't get it." And the pastor told me, "Well, the Bible teaches that you're to wait on Him to do it, okay, because He's the one that does the baptism. He knows what He's doing. He knows the timing of everything." And he says, "One day I was out in the field and it had been raining." We need rain, by the way, praying for rain. He said, "It had been raining." He said, "I'm out in the field and I was just talking to the Lord and saying, you know, Lord, I went up and I won the baptism. I really want the baptism of the Holy Spirit." And the Lord said, "I heard in my spirit, man," the Lord said, "I want you to bow your knees in this mud right now if you want the Holy Spirit." He said, "So I'm out there in the middle of my field." He said, "If somebody drove by, they thought I was crazy." But he said, I bowed down and in the mud, and I started asking the Lord for the Holy Spirit, and He was filled with the Holy Spirit. You can be in your pickup. I was in a vehicle when it happened for me. I was just driving down the road going, Lord, I really want this. And then all of a sudden, here it comes. So it doesn't have to happen. What I'm trying to say, a lot of times it don't happen up here in the altar, okay? Sometimes it does. Praise God when it does. Sometimes it happens when you're out here just even in the worship service worshiping God. And you've been asking God, God, I want more. You know, here it comes. You have to wait on the Lord to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this is Acts 1, verses 4 through 5. It says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 says, but you will see power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And it's you're going to receive power, that power to serve, that power to be a witness for him. And we need his power. Amen. We've been trying to do this in our own power, and God's saying, if you'll let me give you power from on high, it'll be so much easier and so much more fun. Yes. Amen. And God wants to do that. And so I'm asking you today, if you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want you to come up here. There's some of you here I know that have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but if you've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit, I just want you to come up here. And what I'm going to do is what the Bible says. I'm going to lay hands on you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's this is simple. I'm just going to go right down the line, lay hands on you like what the Word says. But he's the baptizer. Amen? So if you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want you to come up here right now. Okay? So no what ifs, ands, or buts, no waiting around. Come on up here. And like I said, it may happen here, and it may happen when you're out on the ranch, the farm, driving in your pickup, or wherever. Maybe you're here today and you want some more of Jesus. Maybe you've already had the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you want more. I want you to come up here as well. Anybody? Amen. Amen. Just come up here and stand. And I'm just going to go down through here and do what the Word of God says and lay hands on you, okay? And I'm going to keep teaching this because people haven't been taught this. They don't understand. And some people think they understand, but they really don't. And so this is not, I hate what some, and I'm going to throw my Pentecostal brothers and sisters underneath the bus for a little bit, because some Pentecostals have made it where it's just, you know, I'll never forget the one guy. He walked out of a church service because he'd never been taught what I'm teaching you, and he walked out because it got wild in there, okay? And a lot of it was flesh, okay? And he walked out, and he goes, this church scares the hell out of me, okay? Well, that's not God. Amen? God don't scare people. God, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, it's like God wants to hug you, all right? God wants you to have this because the Bible says he promises to all of his sons and daughters. And it's for not only the power to serve him and the power to be a witness, but it's also going to equip you just the power to live a Christian life, you know. God didn't want us to try to live this life in and of ourselves. We can't do it. Amen? So I'm just going to go down through here. Jada, would you come up here with me? And we're just going to go down through here and just lay hands on you and ask for the Lord just to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for Scott. I just thank you that he is up here asking you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we lay hands on him. Your word says that we could lay hands on people and that they would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, I just thank you that you're filling Scott to overflowing with the Holy Spirit today in Jesus' name. God, we lay hands on Judy today. God, I thank you right now that you're healing her body from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, God, in Jesus' name. That's one of her rights as a daughter of yours. And so, God, we thank you for healing her. And, God, I thank you that you're baptizing her in the Holy Spirit today, when with power and with fire, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. God, we thank you for Penny. God, I thank you that she is up here today asking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God. And Lord, she is receiving. As she's asking, she's receiving, God, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, receive it by faith, Penny, in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for Tommy, God, in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for this man of God. I thank you that he's come up here today asking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, I thank you that you're going to fill him to overflowing from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that when he's out on the ranch and just riding around, God, he is just going to be so immersed in your Holy Spirit, God. And he's going to begin to praise you and talk to you in that language, God, that you're going to give him, God. And that's his language to keep his battery charged up, God, in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we just lay hands on Tommy, and we thank you that you're baptizing him in the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God, we thank you for Wes. God, I thank you for that you've led this man here to Leedy. And he's married to Anita. God, you're doing a work in him. You're doing a work in his marriage. You're doing a work in his children. God, I thank you for that. God, I thank you that you're going to give him power today, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, power to live for you, power to serve you, God, in Jesus' name, power to be the husband that you've called him to be, power to be the father that you've called him to be. And so, God, we thank you that you're baptizing Wes right now in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you for Anita. God, thank you, God, for all that this woman does. She serves so many, God. And so, Lord, we thank you that you're going to give her power from on high, God, in Jesus' name, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Lord, she sees so many people through her business at the restaurant, God. And, Lord, I know that Anita has a heart that she's willing to help anyone and everyone. But, God, you're going to give her the power that she needs to be a blessing to people, God. It's not going to be in her might or her power, but it's going to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, God, I thank you for baptizing Anita right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for Tim today, God. I thank you that you're filling him afresh with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God, that power from on high, God, in Jesus' name, God. I thank you that just as Jesus was a carpenter, I know that Tim is a carpenter and he does lots of things for different people, but God, you're going to be bringing him into homes. I know he's already done this, but I thank you that, God, I believe with all of my heart that it's going to increase, God, that as he goes into homes and different places that you call him to, God, there's going to be ministry opportunities open up, God, and the power of God is going to be flowing through him to heal the sick, to cast out demons, God, to even raise the dead, God, in Jesus' name. God, that power is going to flow through him to your people. And God, he's going to know, just as Jesus knew when Jesus walked this earth in ministry, he's going to know what jobs to accept, what jobs maybe he needs to turn down. God, Lord, you're going to lead him in his work. And God, in his work, God, you're going to work that power through him in the name of Jesus, God. And I thank you for this man of God, and I speak blessings over him today. And I thank you that he is baptized afresh in your Holy Spirit. Lord, fill him up to overflowing, God, in Jesus' name. God, thank you for Gary. God, he's up here asking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God, I thank you that you're giving him that power today, the power to be that husband that you've called him to be, the power to be that father that you've called him to be. And so, God, I thank you that he's receiving that power today in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, thank you for Jennifer. God, I thank you for what you're doing in this couple, Gary and Jennifer, God. And, Lord, I thank you that you're filling her afresh. There's been lots of things happening in her life, deliverance, different things happening. But God, you're filling every nook and cranny that where the enemy used to be at. God, you're filling every nook and cranny with your Holy Spirit, God, in Jesus' name. You're baptizing her afresh today, God. And Lord, I just speak blessings over her today in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I thank you for Shanna. God, in Jesus' name. God, I thank you that you're filling her to overflowing with your Holy Spirit today, God. She's asking today and she's receiving today, God, in Jesus' name. And so, Lord, Jade and I, we lay hands on Shannon, and we thank you that you're filling her afresh, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for Jesse. God, I thank you that you're filling him afresh with your Holy Spirit today, God, in Jesus' name. God, I thank you that there's You're just filling him afresh, God, today in Jesus' name. The power to serve, the power to be the man of God that you called him to be, the power to be the husband that you called him to be, the power to be the father that you called him to be. And so, God, we just thank you that you're filling him afresh with your Holy Spirit today, God, in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for this couple today, God, in Jesus' name, Jeff and Cheryl. God, I thank you. God, I thank you that you're filling them afresh, filling them with your Holy Spirit today. God, this is a power couple. God, in Jesus' name. God, your word says that you sent them out by two. God, every time I see them, they're together. That's a good thing. God, I thank you that their marriage is healthy. But God, you're baptizing them afresh to be the spouses that they're called to be to one another, to be the father and the mother that they need to be, God, in Jesus' name. And Lord, to be witnesses on their in their workplaces, God. There's going to be opportunities for you both, Oilfield and at your work, Cheryl, to just be witness. And you're going to know that, hey, I need to speak up during this. I need to tell this person how much that Jesus loves them and Jesus wants to heal them. And Jesus wants to set them free. And he's going to give you that boldness as you step out in faith to do that. And so, God, I just pray that when those opportunities come, that they wouldn't shy away. They wouldn't say, well, you know what, I'm kind of a quiet person. I'm not going to get involved. God, God, you anoint even the quiet people to get involved. And so you give them that boldness and that power that they need. And so, God, I thank you that you're doing that. You're doing that for Jeff and Cheryl today, God, and we bless them today. In Jesus' name, you're filling them afresh and anew, God. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for Noe. Thank you that you're healing him from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, Lord. Your word says that he is healed in Jesus' name. And God, I thank you that as Jade and I lay hands on him today, you're filling him afresh with your Holy Spirit today, God. In Jesus' name. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Give him the power to live, the power to be the man of God that you called him to be, the power to be the husband that you've called him to be, the power to be the father that you called him to be. And God, I thank you that, Lord, you're going to give him eyes to see people that just need a touch from you, God. And as he sees them, you're going to work through him to bring healing and to bring deliverance, God, in Jesus' name. And Jade and I, we just lay hands on Noe today, and we speak blessings over him and the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I want everybody to say, I've asked, therefore I receive by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go be seated, okay? You guys came up here and you asked and you have received. Yeah, give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Now, here's what I know about the enemy. I know the enemy will come and he'll say, you know what? Nothing happened up there. You just went up, made a fool out of yourself. Nothing happened. It happened because you asked and received it by faith. Just like with me, when I went up and I asked by faith, pastor laid hands on me, and it was later on, and I think it was several days later, I kept saying, Lord, I want my, and this is what you need to ask for, I want my prayer language so that I can keep my battery charged up. And keep asking for that until it comes. Some of you need to get rid of some old religious thinking, okay? Stay in the Word of God. Stay in the book of Acts because it's available for every believer. So say, I have received. Amen. Okay. Love you guys. I want everybody to stand up this morning. God is good, isn't he?
God is good.
And guys, it's very simple. He wants all of us to be blessed. Jada, would you come up here? And I want to speak this blessing over you guys. So if you're there with family, I want you to hold hands with them. And this is out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May be blessed in your health. May be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Hug somebody's neck and say, I am filled with power. Amen.